Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
The Restaurants Association warns that they're facing a wave of closures over the next few months. Restaurants, cafes and hotels are all facing a winter of rising costs, staff shortages and uncertainty about whether they'll survive the next few months. Mike Tracy is the owner of Bakehouse 22 in Limerick that recently closed its doors after 60 years in business. Richard Jacob was previously the owner of Idaho Cafe in Cork and is now a hospitality consultant. Gina Murphy is the owner of Hugo Restaurant in Dublin, and we want to speak to you all about the challenges that lie ahead. Mike, to you first. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Yours was a family business, wasn't it? And people might know opposite St. John's Castle in Limerick City, the heart, the medieval heart of Limerick City. And you were there yourself for 27 years, weren't you?
Good morning, Claire. That's correct, yeah. We're actually still open at the moment, but with where we find ourselves today, we're up for sale, but we're still trading as a business, looking to change, looking to take up a new job opportunity that's arisen for me. But yeah, we're facing a lot of different challenges at present as well.
Okay, so it was a huge call for you to make, to put the business up like that. What pushed you down that road? What made you make the call?
Oh, I think if you ask any restaurant or small business out there, we're going to give you the same list. COVID was the first one. We're in the cost of living crisis at the moment, energy crisis. We had parking issues here in the street and we had a fire in our premises. So all the above have just added, just saying, for the amount of hours that you put in, you just don't get paid for it, and It's a struggle after struggle, and then we have the warehouse tax as well with revenue, so that all has to be paid up now as well.
So what did you try before you made the decision? What changes and tweaks did you employ?
Yeah, the tweaks that we made back, we were trying to create more sales in our outside catering business. We were trying to reduce electricity costs as best we could, staffing costs wherever we could. So we've gone through the process of doing that, working very close with our advisors and just trying to tweak that. But for us, it just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do now?
Good question. Good question, Claire. I found myself and my son, he's in the business with us as well. And we went to an open day of a company that were looking for new people to start there about 2 weeks ago. And people who were looking beside me or looking at me beside my son when he was going for the job and wondering what I was doing there as well and saying, yeah, guys, I'm here for a job as well. So we're out in the market just trying to find work like everyone else.
So it's a big life change for you. It's huge.
Absolutely, yeah. We're in the midst of it all. It hits you every day, the decision. The big decision is when we actually finally walk away from the door and someone else has taken it over, and wherever I'm going to find work and going to that place, it'll be a big, big shock.
Mm-hmm. And what about other business owners in Limerick, people you're chatting to? I mean, do they have the same story, and do you think some might be headed down the same path?
I have no doubt. Few of my close neighbours, one of them actually turned around to me and said, I feel envious of you that you have actually made that decision now.
Right. Gosh. Mike, will you stay with us if you can? Because I want to bring in Richard Jacob, who's a hospitality consultant, but as I said previously, the owner of Idaho Cafe in Cork. And Richard, when you hear Mike talking there about arriving at the decision to move on from his business, is that a familiar story?
It is, absolutely. But we sold our premises, luckily, just really before all of this. We sold it at the very beginning of the year before the energy crisis kicked in and the food costs started to rise. But I mean, what's happening now is an absolute just perfect storm. Staff shortage. I think it's not just hospitality, just generally people have changed what they want to work at, and people don't want to work in retail and hospitality and lots of other businesses. But then the rising energy costs, food costs, now we talk of an impending recession. I think a very interesting quote from President Macron in the summer, he said, the age of abundance is over. And I think that's it. And I think that it's down to I think there's three of us in it now. It's the people who run the hospitality, there's the customers, and there's the government. And we're all in it now together. And as customers, I think we kind of have to look and say, we have to change our expectations. Like, hospitality is a fantastic business, and it's viable. It's just the business of providing shelter, sustenance, food, and a warm welcome. And that's always going to be there. But I think the days of walking into a restaurant at 4 p.m. and expecting to be able to have a full meal at any time of the day and night, I think we have to temper our expectations. The same with if you're staying in a hotel, I don't think we can expect to find a 40-meter hotel swimming pool heated day and night in case we want to have a swim.
Yeah, you see, the problem with that, Richard, is that it is really expensive now to go out for dinner. And anyone who's done it recently will tell you that. The same with going away for a weekend. You're being asked for premium prices. So you expect to get your pool heated or your dinner at 4 o'clock if that's what you want. I mean, that's part of why you make the decision to spend that money as a customer.
Yes, in hotels, if you're paying a premium for it. But I think what's happened here is there's a tectonic shift. I think we need to look and recognize a few things. There is actually a war in Europe, and energy costs have increased in a way that they never have before. This is a complete game changer. We can't go out now and expect, well, I can't believe it. I was walking down the street and the restaurant is now, they're only open for lunch between 12 and 2. That's the way it's always been in France. And in France, if you try and eat a meal at 3 o'clock, you can't get it. Mm-hmm. We also need to look at it from a sustainability point of view. We have to cut our emissions by 51% over the next 8 years. And at the moment, we're going the wrong way. And the government maybe should step in and look at this and say, we need to help out with this, and we need to now give grants in helping out with sustainability in businesses and help them with that.
Mike, can I just ask you that question? Do you think that customers need a big mindset shift here as to what they can expect from hospitality?
I think, Claire, it's coming in there anyway. And I think customers are, since COVID, we've all readjusted to a new way of living, going out earlier and things that we never thought of, you know, going out socialising at 6 o'clock because the pubs were closed at 8 o'clock. We've all done that. And I think it's coming about, and it's having these discussions that we're having right now. As Richard said, I think people are open to change as well. Different when you're paying big money going into a hotel. Yes, you certainly do want your pool heated. So that's where expectations, you know, they have to meet somewhere along the line.
Okay. Gina is with us as well. Gina Murphy, owner of Hugo's Restaurant. And Gina, I know you've done lots of things. We were talking about the tweaks and changes you can do to try to reduce costs. Do you feel you've exhausted that avenue in that you've done what you can?
Yeah, at this stage, yes, Claire. I mean, we've done everything on the utility front that we can possibly do within a business that has to stay operational. So we've fitted the whole place with LED lighting. I have my drinks fridges on timers, so they knock off at nighttime, come back on again in the morning. I mean, at the moment, my average utility bill used to be about 4,100. My last utility bill in was 12,000. And that is operating 5 days, I'm trading six, but with losing a lunch shift here and there, it's 5 days as opposed to seven. So, I mean, that is an increase of €8,000.
That's extraordinary.
Now, the government are going to give us, and that's over 2 months, so 4,000 a month. Now, the government has offered to give us 40% of that, which equates out to 3,200. We still have to come up with 4,800, and that's out of profits. You know, that's a lot of soup to sell to make 4,800, you know, when we're already on the tightest of margins. I mean, it's just not sustainable. I mean, we're an industry that has literally just come out of doing 10 rounds with Tyson. The last couple of years have been horrendous. And we're still punch drunk from it, you know, and now we're getting back in the ring and we're having to fight again every single day. So definitely I agree with Mike and Richard. I mean, there has to be a collaboration here with the government. And if we're going to see small businesses survive, there has to be a realization that it's not sustainable to keep taking punches. We really operate on really tight margins.
Okay.
I think that's becoming obvious to everybody anyway.
And Richard, what do you advise somebody like Gina who's facing into a cost increase like that? I mean, I don't know how you balance the books at the end of the week with those sort of prices.
And I wouldn't ever dare to advise Gina. She's been in the business longer than I have. And I think that the most important thing is that any business that's open now, that survived 2 years of a pandemic, is a fundamentally sound business run by an intelligent person. And I think what we need now is we need to talk to the government. And when you hear about an industry looking for supports, this isn't a handout, it's not a dig out. It's a question of looking to the government and saying, not how much will it cost us to support the business, how much will it cost us if we don't support the business? And you need to kind of look and say, the idea of increasing the VAT in January as we face into a worldwide recession, kind of need to look at that and say, that's probably not a good move. And if we got that straightened and said, let's work together as an industry, as customers, we're all living in the same island. We can make this work, but we need to change the way we do things.
And Gina, what do you think about Richard's suggestion that customers can't expect to get what they want when they want, that they have to adapt to?
Well, I think that's across the board. I mean, like I was a 7-day operation and I'm now, like I say, 5. You know, we have to be reasonable about what we can put out as well. And I think, you know, the cost of foods have gone up. Like 2 weeks ago, my cream went from €45 to €55. In 1 week, I had a 22% increase in one of my basic ingredients. These things are not sustainable. So we have to taper our businesses to be lean. The only way we're going to survive any kind of a crisis, and this cost of living and utility crisis, it is that we have to stay lean. And I think the consumer and our customers, who are wonderful and they've been fantastic supporters of us, they have to understand that we can't be 7 days, 7 nights anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, going back to what Richard was saying there, that the VAT going on food is just another punch in the tummy, to be honest. I mean, it's a cost directly to the consumer. It's not to the restaurant. I mean, we're really only tax collectors on behalf of the government. So if you're putting an extra 4.5% on the price of food, that goes directly to the bottom line on the bill. It's not into my pocket. It's me collecting it on behalf of the government. I think that's something that has to be really investigated deeper in the light of everything that's happening at the moment. Yeah, it really does.
You've spoken before, Gina, about the buzz, the thrill, you know, the speed of the business, etc. You know, working in the business that you're in. Is that gone for you now?
Oh, it's not gone. It's always there, but it's just really hard. It really is hard. I mean, I think anybody in our industry, I mean, we get a natural buzz from looking after people. I mean, that's what it's all about, is being hospitable, and it gives you a thrill every day. But every day right now is fighting fires, and it's problem solving, and it's like playing whack-a-mole. You know, you get one problem sorted, another pops up. And I can see on other small businesses, I mean, that's just becoming exhausting. And I can understand why some people are getting out, and that's just it. I mean, there are easier ways to survive.
Okay, Mike, was the buzz gone for you?
Now that the hard decision was made, Claire, we're exiting. Not a decision I wanted us to do, but I loved coming into work. And if we, with all the challenges, when a fridge breaks down, it's always a challenge. Like Gina was saying, you know, you're always on the back foot trying to get ahead. It knocks you back. I would still love to have been doing my job there in 2-3 years' time, but it's at this stage, it's just one crisis too many now at this stage. And I owe it to my family, and with this other opportunities, hopefully, that we're going to pursue.
Well, we wish you well in whatever is coming along next for you. Mike Tracy there, Bakehouse 22, Gina Murphy and Richard Jacob. Thank you all for joining us.